Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning and welcome to the main course on heritageradionetwork.org. I am your host, Alexis McLaughlin, and very excited to have Phil Rosenthal in the studio with us. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
We're here to talk about your new show, I'll Have What Phil's Having.
I'm excited.
Premiering on PBS. That's going to be Monday, September 28th.
That's right. No, without paper, you remembered.
What paper? I do. All of this is from my brain.
Fantastic. I need paper to remember my name, but that's great.
No paper this morning, though, just a coffee.
And then after coffee, pizza.
Pizza, because first, you know, probably the only radio station broadcasting from within a pizzeria.
Shouldn't every radio station broadcast from a good pizzeria?
If they only knew about all of our cheese perks, I think they would.
Amazing.
But I want to keep it quiet because, you know, then everyone's going to start doing this and we'll lose our market share.
People have to know that this is a window. I'm looking at a window onto the dining room of the pizzeria.
Yeah.
I may get very distracting as people start coming in and ordering.
Just wait till you see the looks that we get and people are like, what? And what is going on? I came for a pizza pie.
It should be one-way glass so we can see them.
And then run experiments. So very excited to have you on.
I've
already seen three episodes.
Wow, which three did you see?
I started with Tokyo, and
that's our premiere episode. That's our first one. Yeah,
which is a great introduction. That one's it's a little weird. You guys do some, you know, go to some different places, I guess, off the beaten track.
Have you been to Tokyo?
I've never been to Tokyo.
Did it make you want to go?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the whole point then. That's all I'm trying to do, is get you off the couch to come and travel. Because I believe that there's no more mind-expanding thing you can do in life than travel, you know? And if we watch, like, Anthony Bourdain, who's my favorite, he's, the, you know, the master of the genre. I'm telling people that I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
But still going out and doing it.
Yes, I feel like I'm the guy watching Anthony Bourdain, loving Anthony Bourdain, and saying, he's so fantastic, I'm not doing that. I am not going to Beirut to get shot at. I am not eating that part of the animal which may make me sick. I want things I recognize as food, you know? I want I love to travel, I like to be a little comfortable. I think like most people.
Yeah.
You know, if I save up my money to go on vacation, I want it to be nice. And I want to have a guaranteed good time. So the show is for these beginners.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of Americans, they don't have a passport. Did you know that?
Really?
Really. And that's including the people who came to America with a passport, right? And so I know that most people can't afford to travel overseas. I understand that. I didn't either when I was your age. I was a courier for DHL. That meant that when DHL was first starting in the 80s, in the early 80s, they sent their stuff overseas as a guy in coaches excess baggage. So they would buy you a coach ticket and you would fly to, let's say,
and
Zurich.
And you would carry on or check the packages.
It wasn't
that you had to
my
bring?
Job. You couldn't live that way, but I did it two or three times.
Sure.
Went to Zurich, for instance, on a Tuesday morning, and you give your baggage claim tickets to the guy waiting with the DHL sign as soon as you land, and then 2 weeks is your time to do what you want. You're not getting paid. Your payment is the flight over there. Then if you had a friend, you could say, why don't you take the Wednesday morning flight to Zurich. We meet in Zurich on Wednesday morning and we go wherever we want for 2 weeks in Europe, backpacking or whatever, staying in hostels. There is a way to do it very, very cheaply. There are cheap flights. There are, But listen, I don't know. What was the other? Did you see Los Angeles by any chance?
I saw Los Angeles.
Okay, so the whole point of that show, that's the finale. We have six episodes, one-hour episodes. The whole point of that show is you can travel in your own town.
Yeah.
There are places in Brooklyn, probably, that you haven't been because I'm not going to that neighborhood. I'm a little afraid. Or I don't know anything about that Peruvian cuisine. I don't know. So we're just a little innocently ignorant or naive about certain things. The whole point is to try something.
I loved in the LA episode, you know, you went out to El Momo.
Oh yeah, and carnitas El Momo.
But it was the whole pig carnitas. It
exactly.
was like it was really, you know, the traditional preparation. Was it esophagus or something crazy that you guys ended up eating?
You know what?
That's an adventurous try.
Absolutely. So how am I so adventurous? I go with an expert.
Yeah.
I go with a guy who knows. So there's enough resources online and in your local paper that there are experts who can guide you. So if you're interested at all in exploring other cultures, food is a very good way in, right? You're literally taking in the culture. Now, Carnitas El Momo, for instance, it's a plain white truck in the middle of a neighborhood that I don't know.
Yeah.
That I would never stop at. Why? Because I don't, that, why would I stop at a white truck that I don't know to eat? But I had the Bill Esparza, who's the leading expert on tacos in Los Angeles. He wrote something called the Tacopedia. And he's saying, this is where you go. Do you like pork? Well, yes, I do. Here you go. This is going to be one of the best pork experiences of your life. I'm in, right? So we go and stop at Carnitas El Momo. And they start roasting this pig for a day in advance. The guy's up at 3 a.m, you know, turning it and roasting it. And they chop up the whole, you see them chop it up. They put it on a taco, this chopped, beautifully braised pork. They put homemade fresh salsa on it and some other spices. And you eat this thing, and it's the most juicy, delicious pork thing you've ever eaten. He calls it a porkalypse now. It's so fantastic, and it's $2. You can't
it's
beat
accessible.
This.
Yeah. If you're going to go find it, if you're going to, you know, be the person to try it and to seek out that adventure. And the cool part is that's, you know, well, your adopted hometown of
yes.
LA, because you're originally from Queens.
Here. Yeah.
You're from New York originally. Yeah. But yeah, you can go out and find it. And you also tried the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Gorilla Taco,
oh,
which is doing, you know, traditional ideas and then just kind of reinventing them.
Yes.
In this, you know, interesting, kind of more modern way.
Wes Avila is a world-class chef. He worked for Alain Ducasse.
Yeah.
Did you know that? And so he wanted to give back to the neighborhood that he was raised in. So he started a taco truck. Gorilla Taco, spelled G-U-E, not the gorilla monkey gorilla.
Yeah.
Gorilla like Commando Gorilla, right? And he is Commando. He goes into different neighborhoods. But what are you having on his tacos? You're having like uni and hamachi. And he's got a brisket taco with egg on top. I mean, and he has traditional Spanish ones, but he has vegetarian ones with sweet potato. People say, what do I need a sweet potato taco? I'm telling you, that's one of the best things you'll ever eat in your life. It's so fantastic. I say in the show, I want to follow this guy, his truck around like it's the Grateful Dead. I want to just go where he goes and eat whatever he's making every day. It's a miracle to me. And you're talking about just a few dollars per taco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with PBS and just the idea of doing a food show? I mean, we've obviously talked about, you know, wanting to introduce this idea of traveling and,
yes.
and food and everyone, you know, getting out there and meeting, you know, the world
yes.
through food.
So I created a show called Everybody Loves Raymond. And when the show was over, the Russians... I was asked to go to Russia to help the Russians turn my show into Everybody Loves Kostya. And that's...
Oh, this is the movie that you did exporting Raymond?
That's it. It starts on Netflix, by the way, September 1st. For the first time, it'll be on Netflix. I hope you see it because then you'll know who I am and then maybe you'll watch the PBS show. But PBS saw Exporting Raymond and they called me in. They said, we like the idea of you going places. I said, so does my wife. But they said, do you have any ideas? I said, yeah, I have a fantasy that I've had for at least 10 years. How about a show where every episode I go to another great place on Earth and I show you where to eat? And they said, yes. Yes. They gave me six on the air on PBS, nationally syndicated PBS. And I called my brother and I said, I got this show. And I told him all about it. He goes, really? What are we going to call the show? The Lucky Bastard? Which was the working title for a while. In fact, I called my production company for this show. I called Lucky Bastard Production because PBS can't really use that title.
Yeah. The damn fly. Well, we got stuck then with I'll Have What Phil's Having.
Yes.
Which is aptly named because you just try amazing dishes all over the place and are welcomed into to really interesting kind of behind the scenes venues. But
yeah.
I was surprised in the Florence episode or the Italy episode.
Yeah,
I don't want to give it away, but you found an old friend.
Yes. We
and
shouldn't give it
cool
away
story.
Because that's a nice thing. But you know, if I have to pick a favorite place on Earth of all the places I've been so far, I think Italy wins.
Really?
Yeah. Have you been?
I've been when I was younger. Actually, my grandmother used to live in Florence, but not since I was a little baby.
When are you going back? You got to go back, right?
I know. Hopefully soon. I have a lot of Italy connections with work. Patrick Martins, whose show this was originally, he spent a lot of time in Bra in the Piedmont area. And, you know, with slow food and
I think the slow food movement, correct me if I'm wrong, emanates from there. Like, it started there.
It started there. It's still there. Carlo Petrini's still doing work in that area.
You know, it's probably why we love the food there so much, because the principles of farming and farm to table, it comes from this idea. Fresh, beautiful, natural, organic, you know, more organic. healthy for you. You know, I travel all these places and I don't get fat. Why is that? Why do I only start to gain weight when I come back to America? Something's wrong. Right?
Yeah, something's different in what we're eating.
Exactly right.
I'm
eating unprocessed food, even the pasta. You know, this
a lot of it, too.
Oh yeah, a lot of it. I mean, this fallacy about enriched pasta. This is a hoax perpetrated on Americans. It's not enriched. The nutrients have been stripped out of your food to make it shelf-worthy, meaning it'll keep on a shelf in a supermarket. The very thing that makes it sellable in a supermarket has been taken out of our food, the nutritive value of the food.
Yeah, Europe doesn't enrich anything.
No, they don't have to. So to be clear to people listening, enriched means the good stuff has been taken out, and artificial vitamins and minerals, so they can say enriched, have been put in. But this stuff makes you fat.
Yeah, and it's also things that aren't found in those foods traditionally. There's this idea that's kind of a newer idea of nutritional wisdom.
Yes.
Saying that, like, our bodies, you know what it needs.
Yes.
On its own.
Yes.
And then when you artificially add things to food and you start craving the wrong foods, because all of a sudden you're getting a vitamin that shouldn't be in that food, and then you're craving a disproportionate amount of meat, you know, that carb heavy
that's very
bread
interesting.
And stuff like that. It's some interesting work.
Listen, and besides all this science, which I believe, there's a very good reason to eat more natural food. It tastes better.
Yeah.
The end. That's all I need.
That's what you're after.
Just give me a delicious thing and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yes, if it was very, very good for me but tasted terrible, I'm not interested. But you have vegetables in these places. And, you know, we all go, ugh, vegetables. But you have vegetables there and you go, holy cow. Vegetables. Like, this is what that's supposed to taste like. Right? I didn't know.
It becomes a revelation.
It becomes a revelation. Now, because of people like Patrick and other like-minded farmers and restaurateurs and chefs, we are getting more of that here. And I think that the people listening to this, they don't need to be sold on this.
Sure.
Right? But for me, going to Europe for the first time when I was in my 20s, it was like a giant light bulb going off in my head. And if I talk to other chefs too, who also had, we didn't talk about this yet, terrible cooks for mothers.
Yeah, how does your mother like the intro to the show?
She hadn't seen it yet. I know, I'm a little nervous. But look, I if you saw Everybody Loves Raymond, you know that I make fun of my parents for a living. Yeah. So she's a little used to it. And I think people know that it's very good-natured. And you see my parents in every episode, yeah. right? Which is, by the way, a purely commercial decision. They stole the movie, and I thought I should put them in every episode of this as well. It does two things. One, I think it's a nice connection to home, which we all have when we travel. We either call or Skype or have a postcard home. There's a connection, so no matter where you travel, there's always a connection to home of some kind. And after 2 minutes with them, you understand why I need to travel. But I love them, and I talked to other chefs, like Alice Waters, for example. Mm-hmm. She told me that her mother was a terrible cook, and that when she went to Europe for the first time, that was a giant light bulb going off for her. She became Alice Waters from that trip to Europe, right? And so I found, and I think your listeners will find, that if they travel and just open their minds up a little bit to some other way of doing things, it could change their lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Travel just broadens everything.
Yes. And don't you, if you've traveled, don't you go as you're walking down the street in some gorgeous city, wow, this feeling of discovery and joy, I wish I could have that feeling at home. And you bring some of that back with you.
Yeah.
It changes the way you view the world.
And the way you interact with the world, and,
yes.
and all of a sudden you become more adventurous, maybe, you know, at home and in your own, like, town and city, wherever you are.
Yes. I think food and laughs, for me, these are the social binders. These mm-hmm. are the most important things. I feel like we're friends with the people that value these two things, right? The same food as us and the same sense of humor. I think we become friends with people who have a similar sense of humor. It's almost underrated. The sense of humor, right? I think we marry who we marry because of a similar sense of humor, right? If you don't laugh at the same things, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, all the other stuff, that goes away, right?
And but a similar love of travel, too.
Absolutely.
Or food. It's like, you know, your wife is on the show all the time, and that's
yes.
great seeing, you know, just the
yeah.
the kind of counterpoint.
Yes.
She gets some good jokes in as well.
She's fantastic. Yeah, she's learned over the years to keep up with me.
Let's go to a quick break, and we'll be back with Phil Rosenthal to talk a little bit more about I'll Have What Phil's Having.
Oh, won't you save all your pumpkin pie? Oh, won't you save all your pumpkin pie? Oh, won't you save all your pumpkin pie just for me, girl? Please don't give none away. Let it get sweeter by the day. Oh, won't you save it, baby? Won't you save it? Oh, won't you save it all for me?
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Welcome back to The Main Course. I'm Alexis McLaughlin, here again with Phil Rosenthal, talking about I'll Have What Phil's Having, the show on PBS.
Hello.
hello again. So we were just talking about, you know, your travels, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you guys picked out and researched the places that you went to, and how do you find those interesting places to dine?
The six cities for the first series on PBS, Barcelona, Paris, Florence and Umbria, Hong Kong, Tokyo, and Los Angeles were to me like Earth's greatest hits. And I wanted to start with the familiar to people who have traveled. You know, for people who have traveled, I think they'll enjoy seeing their favorites. But if you haven't traveled, I mean, I'm really talking to you. At least this is where you start, I
yeah.
think, right? Now, I'd been to the European cities and obviously Los Angeles, but I hadn't been to Hong Kong and Tokyo. So I wanted to step out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I think you see in the Tokyo episode, I don't get it right away. I really am lost.
The eel bones too in the...
Oh my God. Now we have what's called fixers in each city, right? Uh-huh. It's the production company is called ZPZ. They also happen to do Anthony Bourdain. Okay, so I didn't want to go where he went. There's no need to do that. Yeah. He's the best of the best and he's already been there. So I'm thinking, you know these cities. They're actually the fixers are located in the cities that we're going to, and they arrange for interesting. They send us like on emails. They send us, you might want to go here. This could be interesting if you did this and this and this. We also leave room for discovery when we're there. Like I'll just be walking and duck into a place just to try it, and we're filming.
Yeah,
and we try it. It's very spontaneous and it's very genuine. It's very honest. There's no trickery, no staging of anything. So they told us, you know, this guy, expert, is going to take you around this area, right? Like that memory lane, that little place where I go in and it's very old. It's from, you know, I think the 1920s maybe in Tokyo. It looks like something out of Blade Runner. And there's these tiny shops and stores that just have, and restaurants that have six seats, seven seats, right? And this one place I sat down, and all they do, it's an old man huddled over a little hibachi grill. Tiny. And what do you get there? You're going to have for your dinner seven skewers of eel. Just on a wooden stick, seven of these. Why seven? I don't know. Maybe it's lucky. Different parts of the eel. And the first couple, if you've ever had eel in a sushi restaurant, you know it's always cooked. And it tastes like good fish. That's all, with a nice sauce on it. It's terrific. I love it. Barbecued eel. Great. But I got this one after, like, at skewer number four that was very, very crunchy. But crunchy not in a pleasant way. Crunchy in, like, uh-oh, I bit on a rock. Right? I bit on something that I wasn't supposed to. And I turn to my companion there and I say, he goes, what's wrong? I'm picking out bits of bones from my mouth. And he's, oh no, you eat the bones. Why would you do that? That's part of the ritual, a part of the thing here. It's a delicacy. You, and also it proves, you know, you're manly if you eat the bone. So I'm a terrible man, I guess, because I couldn't. This was awful to me. Listen, you don't have to like everything. That's the point. But at least I tried it.
Yeah.
Right? That's all. Just try it. And by the way, am I not going back to that place because of that bones incident? No, I'm still going back because everything else I had there was great. Right? I just know now this skewer has the bones. Maybe I'll put that aside and get two extra of the other one.
But you tried it, and it was an experience.
I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I'm not here to tell you that every experience you're going to have is fantastic. But look, I have this nice bone story out of it.
How was it doing in an unscripted show? I mean, coming from, you know, years of comedy and producing and writing, you know, we've already mentioned Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yes.
Now you're doing this unscripted show.
Yeah.
But you have friends on. You're traveling with people that you already have a relationship with. So I imagine it's fun. It's ad hoc.
I hope so. It's ad hoc, another good restaurant in Napa Valley. this show combines everything I love in life. Because I love show business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love writing and directing and performing and producing. I love everything about the business except the business. And then now it takes also my social likes and loves and combines that with it. Travel, food, family, friends, laughs, all in one thing. Everything I could possibly want in one thing. And there's a tiny bit of writing that comes in after you've shot the show. And you're writing your narration. Here are my thoughts about what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And putting it all into context. When you're making a documentary, and that's all these things are really, are documentaries. I don't think it's a reality show because reality shows, as we know, are the furthest thing from reality. Those things are written way in advance, and they're told you're going to go in this room now, and you're going to say this person who never acted before or did it. So we're not doing that. We're seeing real situations, real people. And so I'm writing the narration after the fact to contextualize it. You know, you're seeing what you're seeing is 1 hour out of 8 full days of shooting in each place, winnowed down to 1 hour. What is the point of this trip? Mm-hmm. What is the point of you going to Tokyo? Is there an arc in the story? You find that through looking at the footage and seeing, oh, this leads to this, leads to this, can make a story. A natural story of something that really happened, which was, I didn't get this place when I first got there, to, oh, I'm starting to understand this place. And I like it. That's nice. Right?
It's storytelling. It's storytelling through editing and through experiences.
Everything's a story. And every show is about a family. And hopefully you create a family from just the people that you visit and then revisit in the episode. Right? The lady that takes me on the trip through Takashimaya department store, because she used to work there and is an expert in this, she invites me to her home, which is a very rare thing in Tokyo, because most people, when they socialize, they meet in restaurants or they meet outside in one of the many parks in Tokyo. Their homes are very small. The apartments are even smaller than in Brooklyn.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. There's a toilet that they have. This is a fantastic thing. I think everyone should have this if they're tight for space. When you flush the toilet, water comes from a spigot in the wall and goes into the tank part, the top part of the toilet, which you wash your hands from that spigot as it goes into that tank. That tank is then ready for the next flush. You see?
Innovation.
So it's all in one.
Only found in Japan.
Sink and toilet in one. I know it sounds disgusting, but it's very smart.
Well, I mean, you're that tight on space.
Yes.
I think I'll stick to Brooklyn far as like how crunched I am.
But it could be the next thing. They also have the toilets in Japan that you don't touch anything. It does everything for you.
Yeah.
It's like having your own nurse.
Or I recommend personal robots.
I love it.
Do you have any plans to do more shows?
Only
like
if
this,
they let me. I mean, don't tell PBS, but I would pay them to do this show. It's fantastic. Who wouldn't want to do this for a living, right? Not
Absolutely.
So bad.
I just want to say thank you so much for sharing some of your experiences with us today on the main course. Really excited for the show, which will be airing tomorrow. I guess check your local listings for the times.
PBS, after we got that sweet, sweet post-Antiques Roadshow spot.
Well, that's how you know you made it.
That's
when you follow up Antiques Roadshow.
My favorite.
Thank you again. Everyone look out for I'll Have What Phil's Having. And have a happy Sunday.
Thanks, Alexis.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. To dial. I couldn't run a mile.